Last week, I felt like we had a tremendous service, the move of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if any of you felt release. We talked about strongholds. Been talking about strongholds. But I'm going to ask you, if you have found release and you're willing to share that with the congregation, then I'm going to ask that you come up here and just sit until your turn, okay? No one has to share. But sometimes when God's done something for us, it's important that we let that be known to others because it encourages them. It helps them to understand that God can work in difficult situations, just like Stephanie shared earlier. If he can do it for her, he can do it for you, okay? And so this morning, Josiah has asked if he could share. And so, Josiah, I'm going to ask you to come and take this microphone. Yes, you may borrow this down.
All right. So I've struggled with two particular sins that have really held me down for many years now. And I'll give a bit of backstory into it. I've struggled with it for about 5 years. I came to the Lord actually only a year ago. I've been raised in church my whole life, but it wasn't until I came to him that I started making a semblance of progress with it. But I still wasn't getting free, and I didn't know why. I would keep continually trying. I would go on these long streaks where I just mess up and do horrible. And I kept doing that over and over again until I got to a point where I was doing it just to, without like any conviction of it. My heart had gotten hard, and I would fail multiple times a day, and I just had no remorse over it. It was getting really terrible. And I was speaking with one of my friends about a mutual friend of ours one day, and I was talking about how this friend has been really falling away from the Lord, how he's been making these sins he's doing to be normal and normalizing them and being okay with them. And as I was talking, I realized I was essentially talking about myself right there, and I was being a massive hypocrite. And that really, really convicted me. It just hit me in the chest like a pound of bricks that what I was saying, I was essentially doing the exact same thing, but I didn't realize it. And so I started doing better, but I was worried that I would fail again. I had this fear of failure that I wasn't going to be able to handle it for long. So I came to church and I spoke with Matt because we've spoken about it before. And so I came to Matt and I was talking to him and I was just telling him how I have these fears of failure and I can't do it. I'm just going to fail. I won't be able to keep it for long. How am I supposed to keep it? And I was just venting all these fears and uncertainties to him. And he just kind of looked at me and he's like, "You're putting all the," I'm saying this in my own words, but he essentially told me that I'm putting all the weight on myself and not trusting in God. And that my fear is causing me to be held down with this sin. And so I realized that I had been fearing, my fear of failure had caused me to fail because I was putting all the weight on myself and I wasn't putting any on what God can do and his power. And so Matt had always talked about this vow he made with God that got him out of the same sin that I've struggled with years ago. And I didn't want to make a vow because if you break a vow with God, it's a bad trip. You're not supposed to do that. And I was like, well, what if I mess up? What if I fail? What if I break this vow? And it kept me back from making it. But when I got home that night, I realized that I had to put all those fears aside and just step out in faith and make that vow, regardless of whether I thought I was going to fail or whether I thought I was going to succeed. And I took those fears and I gave them to the Lord. I took all of that away. I put it down and I prayed really hard and then I made the vow and I've been doing great. This is the best I've ever done. So I had to get rid of my own fear before God could actually move in my life in the way he needed to.
I'm supposed to put this in my front pocket, but I'm afraid I'm going to break that little thing off, so I've got to put it in my back pocket. Yeah.
I'm concerned.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for the reminder. So I do have a message prepared. And nobody came up, so we're going to go into the message. Okay? So we're actually going to be, this is a good, I don't know what I did with my Bible and things, but this is a good jumping off place. Oh, there it is. After Josiah's testimony, because it kind of takes us where we want to go today. We have been talking about strongholds. We finished that up last week. But today we're going to talk about fleshly appetites, which is different from a stronghold. But fleshly appetites can take you into a stronghold. Okay? So we're going to be talking about overcoming fleshly appetites. We're not going to finish with that today, of course. Usually it takes a few weeks to complete what we start. So what is it? What is a fleshly appetite? Every person, you, me, our neighbors, were born with a desire for ungodly things. You never have to teach a child how to lie. They just naturally do it. I did it once when I was a kid. You don't have to teach a child how to steal. They just naturally do it. It just comes natural to them. All of us are born with these desires within our heart that are not godly. And that's what a fleshly appetite is. How does it differ from a stronghold? Paul said in Romans chapter 7, I do the things I don't want to do. A stronghold is something you don't want to do, but you keep doing it anyway. Paul said, that's where I live. I don't want to do these things, but I keep doing it anyway. Well, a fleshly appetite is different in you do it because you want to. Does that make sense? I do it because I like it. There's a part of me that enjoys this particular sin, and so therefore I'm going to continue to do it because there's part of me likes the thrill, likes the adrenaline rush, likes whatever you are seeking for that to be filled. And so does that make sense? The difference between a stronghold and a fleshly appetite is the stronghold, you don't want to do it. A fleshly appetite, you do want to do it. And so therefore you continue in it. Now, some people want to blame God for their sinful desires. Well, God created me this way. So therefore, it must be okay. Have you ever heard that? Okay. There was a fellow I was counseling with some years ago at Union Gospel Mission who had a fear problem, major fear problem, and actually it was paranoia. And he said, that's the way God made me. So I don't really need to deal with it. Caused a lot of problems in his life. The problem you have with the sin nature, it did not come from God. It came from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, when they were in the Garden of Eden, they did not have a problem with the sin nature. They had no sin nature because they were both born of God. They had no earthly parents. They were both instilled with the Spirit of God. And so they were just trucking along and doing great until the temptation came. When the temptation came and they succumbed to temptation, not only did it afflict them with the sin nature, but it has affected every single person who's ever been born on this earth since that time. And it afflicts you, and it afflicts me. And it's not God's fault. It's man's fault for this affliction. So is it possible to overcome these cravings? Yes, it is. But first, you have to desire it. You have to crave it. So when we first meet Christ, when we first accept Him as our personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to stop right now. Okay? We need to pray again. Lord, I, for some reason, feel resistance, and I don't know why. I think everyone understands what I'm talking about. So we just come against every spirit that would try to hinder the word today. Lord, we want you to be glorified. We want you to be honored. Lord, we just ask that you would help me to be able to present this message in a way that's going to be understood by those who are sitting here today. Lord, we want freedom. That's what we want. We want freedom. We want to live as free children of God. Whom the Son sets free, we will be free indeed. And Lord, I know that many of us here today have been desiring freedom and from fleshly appetites, from strongholds. And God, we just pray for freedom today. Freedom to worship you and freedom to walk in a way that's worthy of the name Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be able to present this message and get to the heart of the issues. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When we meet Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, there are some things that take place in our life, and some strongholds have been removed, but there are part of us, there's some parts of us that just enjoy the sin. Jake read a passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 6 earlier, and there's a part of that passage of Scripture that says we are dead to sin. How many of you have ever known a dead man to sin? Now, this is a weird story. I went to Portland State for a while, and I was in the music program, and I was supposed to be a singer. And so I was talking to my music teacher one day, and he said, do you know anything about the Christian Science religion? I said, not really. He said, well, I was asked to go and sing at this funeral and went to this funeral and had this, you know, like a luncheon and things and drinks and whatever. And they had the dead man propped up in a seat. And they brought him food. They brought him drinks and set it there beside him. And I'm like, you know, I didn't have to ask, did he eat anything? I didn't have to ask if they had anything to drink, because dead men don't eat. Dead men don't drink. And dead men don't sin. Right? And so Romans chapter 6 says that we are dead to sin. And so what I'm trying to do in my own personal life is die to sin. To live a life so that I no longer sin. Now, I'm not there yet, but what I want to share with you today is some things that have helped me in my own personal life to be able to overcome some of these fleshly appetites, okay? And probably next week, too. We're not going to finish today, but the Lord wants to deal with us in these areas. We come to know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Some of this stuff goes away, but some of it is still attached to us. And part of the reason it's still attached to us is because we still like it. Right? We don't want to give it up. And Scripture says, you can have whatever you ask for. You can have the desires of your heart. And so what is your greatest desire? Is your greatest desire to serve the Lord? Or is your greatest desire to serve sin? Because you can get your desires. And God's not going to trump your desire. Does that make sense? Okay. So you need to, that's where we need to start is, are we willing to be willing for God to change our heart? You know how it is. You, like Josiah was saying earlier, we participate in these sins and the Holy Spirit pricks our heart. It's like, man, Lord, I know it's wrong, but I really enjoy it. And so, you know, and for a while we's like, okay, we're not going to do it anymore. And then the Holy Spirit's like, okay, you're doing good. And then we fail and, oh, the Holy Spirit pricks our heart. Well, you know, it's not as big a deal as sometimes the Holy Spirit makes it out to be. We think. We kind of excuse it. We kind of make our desires greater than the desire of the Holy Spirit in our life. And one of the things Josiah said was that what he learned to do was to surrender. What Stephanie said, what she did was surrender. And I think that's a huge area in all of our lives. We need to surrender. I'm going to hit this very quick, maybe. One of the things, if you want to, you really want to address these issues in your life, one of the things you need to do is address the physical. You need to address the physical. You need to address the spiritual as well. But one of the ways you need to address the physical is you need to go through your house. If you're having trouble, struggles, let's just say you have struggles with pornography, you have struggles with drinking, you have struggles, whatever it is, there's some items in your house that you need to get rid of, right? You need to go through your house. You need to cleanse your house. You need to get those things out of your house, because every time you see those things, there's a trigger that takes place in your mind, and it triggers that want to, that desire in your heart that's not healthy for you. And you need to go through your house and remove it from you. Get rid of it. That's the first step, is address the physical. Go through every room, address these issues. Share a story with you. Some years ago, I'm going to call this guy Grant. Not his real name. I don't remember what his real name was, but I'm going to call him Grant. It's been Jib Bob. I don't know. But one day I got a call from Grant, and he said, somebody said I needed to see you. You've been your name's been given to me because I understand you deal with counseling situations. Who gave you my name? Well, the counseling center. And so I said, okay. So we met together, and he kept telling me, he told me he had some problems with his wife. And he and his wife were divorced, his ex-wife. She actually lived in Idaho. But he would leave his apartment, and his wife would come in and mess up the apartment, have a party, okay? And it's like, well, that's weird. See, he said, I need to see you because they want to put me in a mental institution. And I'm thinking, okay. So, you know, this went on for a few weeks, and, you know, I'd tell him, you know, well, you know, he said, I changed the lock several times on my house. but she still comes in. She still messes up. She comes in, she has a party, and she trashes my place. I've called her a couple of times, but she won't talk to me. She just, I don't know what to do about this. And then one day he comes in and says, well, my wife's been dead for several years. Like, maybe you do need a mental. But then, you know, then I'm thinking, and of course, you know, I'm like, is this mental or is this spiritual? Is this mental or this spiritual? And I thought, well, I'll just check it out. I don't know. The Holy Spirit's not telling me one way or the other, but it's kind of mysteries. And so I told him, and so she kept coming in and trashing the place and stuff. And I told him, I said, well, why don't you do this? I said, so tell me a little bit about your life. What caused your wife to divorce you? He said, well, I had several affairs. And so she left me all alone. I really don't have any friends. I don't have anybody. I'm all alone. And so I I shared Christ with him, told him what he needed to do, was asked God to forgive him for his sins, including the marital affairs, and asked Jesus to come into his heart. He did that. And things were quiet for a while. And then she came to visit him. And so I said, okay, here's what I need you to do. I need you to take Psalm 91, and I need you to read it every day. So that's kind of a soldier psalm, and, you know, it tells about how to deal with spirits on your left hand, right hand, trampling them, that kind of thing. And so he did that for a while, and it was working good. For about 3 months, he gave me a call again. And I said, you know what? Probably we need to go through your house and we need to cleanse your house. You need to go through every room and you need to remove everything that's not of God out of your house. And so he said, give me 3 weeks. And I'll come in. I told him, I'll come in and I will pray through your house. Because that's one of the steps, and we haven't gotten there yet. But you have to pray through those areas too. And so I went over 3 weeks later. I sat down. He was sitting on the couch over here. I was sitting in the recliner over here. And I said, have you got rid of everything out of your house? He said, yes, everything. I said, you've been through every room? Yep, every room. Are you sure you've got through everything out of your house? Because he was still having any business. He said, yes, I'm sure. And the whole time I'm looking at a picture of a nude lady right above his head. Okay. And so I said, well, what about that picture? He said, oh man, I forgot all about that one. And so he took it off the wall. And he said, what do I do with it? I said, you need to burn it. You need to get rid of it. You need to burn it and take care of it. And you know, he did that. And I didn't hear from him for several months. And when I did hear from him, he said, man, it sure is lonely. He was not having any more visits. You know, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You need to go through your house because there are spirits attached to those items that you hold on to. Did you know that sometimes those things are not only that you hold on to them, but they're holding on to you as well. And you need to get rid of them. We read in the book of Acts that there were a bunch of people who were witchcraft and those kind of things. They hadn't. It would have been millions of dollars in books right now. And when they came to know Christ, they cleaned out. All of it came to the center of the city and burned all of those books. Burned all of those books because they have given their life to Jesus Christ and they didn't want anything from their past to hold them back. If they had not done that, they would have been held by those spirits that were attached to those books. You need to get rid of books. You need to get rid of CDs. You need to get rid of maybe romance novels. There's a lot of things you need to remove from your house, because if you want victory in these areas of your life, that's the first thing you need to do, is remove these items. And not only do you remove these items, but you start replacing them with other things. You need to start replacing them with godly things. I was over to house a few weeks ago, visiting. And when I went in the house, it just didn't feel real good. Okay? And so we talked, visited. And then I was in their house last week, and the dad said, "We've got rid of every movie except Pure Flix. That's all we're watching now is Pure Flix." And when I went in there, there was peace. There was just peace in the home, because they had gotten rid of some of these other things out of their lives. Isn't that incredible? And I'm just encouraging you, if you want peace in your home, if you want to get rid of the chaos, if you want to get rid of the confusion, then what you need to do is just get rid of some garbage that you've been holding on to that has been holding on to you. That make sense? Okay. I don't have any more time. Okay. This is a 4-hour sermon. Yes, Tom. You, if you'll use the microphone. Oh, here you go. Oh, whatever.
So I've been reading in Numbers, Deuteronomy, and this morning I was struggling what to read before we started. I was going to read this. Something stopped me. And I see now I should have read it. So they're about to cross into the promised land, the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the other side of the Jordan. Well, they're not there yet, but they're getting there. Moses is talking to them. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Sorry, Numbers 33. He says this to them. When you cross over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their figured stones,
mm-hmm.
and destroy all their molten images, and demolish all their high places. You shall take possession of the land and live in it, for I've given the land to you to possess it. When you come to the Lord,
yeah,
there's work to do.
Right.
There's things to do.
Right.
Not to get salvation, but to make your walk successful and to possess what he's given us, which is new life in Christ. Crush every molten image, crush every graven image, crush every idol, burn them.
Right. Thank you, Tom. There was a fellow in Greene County, Mississippi, an alcoholic. And the Lord delivered him from alcohol. He didn't need it, didn't want it, didn't desire it. And my brother was a pastor there in Greene County, Troy. And Troy noticed a fifth of whiskey in his truck one day. And Troy said, what is this? He said, I'm just proving to the devil that I am finished with this. I'm not going to take it. I'm just proving to myself, I'm proving to the devil, I'm proving to Jesus Christ that I don't need it anymore. Guess what? At a weak moment, he went to his truck, he got his whiskey, and started the cycle again. I'm telling you, family, you got to get rid of this garbage. If you want to succeed in your Christian walk, you've got to get rid of all of it. You can't pick and choose. And you go through your house and, man, I really don't want to get rid of that. You better get rid of it. Okay? You better get rid of it because it's going to be like a leech and it's going to suck the life out of it. Passage of scripture in 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee from youthful lusts, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Flee. You've got to take precautions. You've got to flee some things. You got to take off, run. Don't allow yourself to be in situations that's going to compromise your faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, one more. You need to remove yourself from bad company. Need to remove yourself from bad company. You must break ties with old friends that you hang with. You need to find new friends who are God followers. You cannot walk in a way that's worthy with the Lord as long as you're still connected to those individuals who has led you down a path of debauchery, who've led you down a path of unholy living. You can't. You have to break them up. Someone said one time, I was preaching this message one evening, and someone said, what about family members? What about family members? I said, you've got to break that too. She didn't like it. Now she's in deep in drug addiction. Deep in drug addiction. Sometimes you have to break family as well. And I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. You can't go to Christmas with them because you know what they're going to do. You're not going to go to Thanksgiving with them. You know what they're going to do. You're not going to participate in those things. I'm strong enough. I can go. No, it doesn't work that well. You're not strong enough. As a matter of fact, Jesus, whenever he sent his disciples out, he sent them out two by two. Remember that? And I wonder, and it's probably because he knows that two are stronger than one. If you go, you better take somebody who's strong in their faith to go with you. So here's a question I have to ask you. What do you need to get out of your home? Who do you need to get out of your life? Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to do it? How bad do you want your relationship with Jesus Christ? How bad do you want to be free? The Lord says, I came to set you free, but if you don't want to get free, he's not going to set you free. And the last thing, seriously, stop visiting places where you found trouble or where trouble found you. Okay? Stop visiting places where you found trouble or where trouble found you. Find new places void of temptation. Joshua said to the Israelites, choose you this day who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve your friends? Are you going to serve the Lord? Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Joshua went on to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. Here's the deal. The reason we continue to frequent those places is because we want to be tempted. The reason we keep those old friends is because we want to be tempted. You have to decide. I can't decide for you, but Jesus has promised freedom, but you have to do your part while he does his part. Romans 13:11-14. Listen. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Well, let me ask you, are you thinking about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature, or are you thinking about how you're going to gratify the Lord Jesus Christ? Where is your mind most often? I guarantee wherever your mind goes, that's what you're going to do. Church, I love you. And I want every blessing that God has be poured on you, but you can't receive that if you're still going to choose darkness. So here's what I want you to do today. I want you to choose. I want you to make a decision. And the decision is this: I'm going to go through my house, I'm going to do a house cleaning. Decision is this: I'm going to take inventory of my friends, and I'm willing to walk away. I'm going to take an inventory of the places I visit. I'm no longer going to visit those places. So if that's a desire, if that's a decision that you're making, I want you to make it public. And while the worship team comes, I'm going to ask that you come up here, that you stand up here, and I'm going to pray for you. Okay?